I'm sure a lot of you feel the exact way I do right now. You're equal parts jaded and just kind of sick of 2020. Nothing could surprise you, but also you're kind of surprised because you thought last night was going one way when you went to bed, and like every day in 2020, you woke up and you realize you don't know what the hell's going on. And to talk a little bit about what the hell's going on is my guest today, Lauren Chen. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, although I do want to preface that I also don't know what's going on, but we can kind of muddle through it together, you know, we can talk it out.
I was hoping you had some evidence or you had some clue, but at least we can be confused together. And those of you that are watching or you're listening, join us in this very convoluted time where it's just like 2020 is like high school all over again, right? Every year you think it's going to get better, but it just gets more complicated and worse.
It just gets worse. And I've had people say, do you really think that 2021 is just going to magically reset and be better? And it's like, well, I have to hope. This has been a crazy year. I mean, I think somewhere in the along the lines, we actually had proof that like aliens were maybe real, but it was just so crazy. We didn't even have time to focus on that. And now it's like an election from hell that may not actually be over until December. And I don't know if like the ulcers that are developing in my stomach can really hold out for that long, or I'm just going to like explode from the inside before then. So it's going great.
Yeah. And I'm like mixed with you too, where it's like, I'm all like for like, I'm about to call a civil war and just tell everyone to get out in the streets, but then I'm not going to do that because I don't want to get banned.
Right.
And I would never say that I would do that in real life. But I'm like in that point, I feel like a little bit like Alex Jones, like mixed with Tucker Carlson, where it's like, I want to be professional and I want to give the word, but I also want to rip off my shirt and just like break these screens with a bat. And I'm pissed. Let's talk about the unrest on the streets, guys. Things were freaking crazy in Washington, D.C. Picked up a souvenir. I think it's right here. We got some prizes, some mostly peaceful door prizes that come with the protests and the unrest. Actually, one man had a metal bat in his backpack last night. We're going to look at some clips and we're going to get Lauren's reaction. If you guys don't know, you know, they tried to assassinate me last night.
Yeah, pretty crazy. You know what's funny is that I don't want to do what you do because, I mean, you have more balls than I do. I'll just say it. But I did want to do at least some, you know, reactions, talk to people in the protest, because we've done that before, like in Canada and the UK. And Liam, my producer and fiance, he's here as well. He's very much against me doing that here for this election. And even Ricky, one of our Blaze producers, she just said, you know what? Leave it to Elijah. I think you're probably, I don't want to assume anything, but you might be a little bit better in a fight.
Yeah, and then you have a prettier face. I know your fiance would agree. He would probably not like you. When I have a fat lip, like it's like whatever, right? It's like because guys are, we are the prize because we always look the same, right? And it's like as we get older, we just get like, we get better looking.
More distinguished.
Yes, right? And I would say like when we have scars and these things, it adds to our character.
Yeah.
Women, you guys need to keep it all intact. I'm sorry, it's true.
It is true, and it might be, I'm not saying that I only have a show for my looks, but I don't know if as many people would be impressed if I somehow ended up looking like, I don't know, Nancy Pelosi through a blender.
So yeah, it's actually true.
Let's not test that.
People don't, all I can say is, I can't confirm your show, but I'd like to believe people only watch this show for my looks.
Yeah.
Look at that. That is, come on, everyone knows that like a slightly round-headed, puffy man with freckles, scars.
It's the Irish charm. Yes. Don't be so hard on yourself.
It's the Irish charms. Our cereal is just as good as our looks. Lucky Charms. Our first block today, guys, is going to be looking at the unrest. Our second block today is going to be talking a little bit about this uncertainty and this insanity that's going on. But first, I want to give a huge shout out to the best armor company in America. Guys, AR-500 Armor. There is no denying that 2020 has been a crazy year. We're seeing chaos happening in cities across America that we've never imagined to see. Buildings burning. And I've been confronted multiple times with extreme danger while covering these situations. This has made us look for the best way to protect not only myself, but our crew should we be caught in the middle of these types of dangerous situations like we were in last night. Now, shopping for ballistic body armor may seem like something that you never thought you'd ever have to do. It's something I never thought I'd have to do. I mean, 2020 comes with all its surprises. But when we did our new friends, when we heard of our new friends at AR-500, they're the ones that we tuned to. We got to them and they trusted not only us with our lives, but we trusted them with our lives. And this is how I know this. They supplied us with the right ballistic body armor for different kinds of scenarios. And our reporters, including myself, my producer, Sav, we are trusting our hearts with it. I wouldn't trust her face with it because I don't think they do the face shields.
Oh,
I don't
it's too bad. Maybe next time.
Yeah, but anyway, AR500 Armor makes buying ballistic body armor easy, approachable, and affordable. They've built out a special package for my listeners and my viewers that's perfect for anyone trying to ensure that they have just the right amount of protection for dangerous situations while maintaining affordability. This is my call to action, guys. This is the time where you finally make that leap and you get the armor you need. Go to ar500armor.com/offensive to see this package and use my code offensive for 20% off anything else in their entire store. Also, you can get 30% off this other package that comes with two plates, two trauma pads, and a Veritas plate carrier. That's a starter pack. Anyway, go to get 20% off the entire store with code offensive, ar500.com/offensive. Plan now for how to protect yourself, your family, the way that Slightly Offensive does. Let's jump into this. So, You weren't able to go, Gary. If we could roll clip two, this is why this happened early on in the night during the unrest before we knew anything. Let's see these mostly peaceful protesters.
I'm not shocked by anything anymore, sadly. Like, this is, I've become so jaded. And you know what's so interesting is that not only are people committing violence publicly with tons of witnesses, there are people filming it, and that's still not enough to stop people from acting like animals. They just go for it.
I wanted to reenact my favorite part of that scene. So take this bat. So what we noticed, so the guy had a bat and there was a Trump supporter. This is really important right now because I'm pissed. And he kind of hit him like on the head. This is not a plastic bat. This is a metal bat. I promise you that this is for sure. I'm really strong guy. Mm-hmm. Irish people have skull, really thick heads and big mouths. So he went up and he hit him on the head. Go ahead and hit me on the head real fast. He hit him a little harder than that. He hit him a little harder, but actually just went up and just like whacked his head, and he split it open and put a skull in. And this is why here, you know, this is crazy, man. I've gotten really strong from all this, but he beat him up. And that's why you weren't allowed to go here. If we could roll clip four for a second, I'll show you. Clip three. I don't know if you're surprised by this. The violence escalated when the Black Bloc Antifa started attacking cops. So let's watch this.
Why don't they? That's what I don't know. Why don't they do anything? Right? I support law enforcement for sure, but someone has told these cops, stand down, stay away, let things play out. And I want to know who that person is. And I'm sure a lot of voters do as well, because they need to be held accountable. Right? This is not acceptable. There shouldn't be political violence happening on the streets in the United States. Right? This isn't a third world country. There should be law and order. This shouldn't be something that's acceptable. But we see this more and more now. I think people are getting tired of it.
Tackle that guy, punch him in the face and arrest him.
Yes.
So I say, we need more police brutality, not less. That's a joke. But what I mean is, like, there's some police brutality that's warranted.
Of course, especially when you're being attacked.
If you're being kicked, and this is my point of why I think we're tired of what's going on right now in the election, is that when we're seeing this uncertainty in the way that, you know, mail-in voting was pushed, even though it wasn't safe, tech companies coming and supporting this. This is what pissed me off on Instagram, was that I would put a post up, an election post. This is my own page. Then they would put a warning under it saying, come here for voter information. And that voter information would tell my followers, you know, voting, through mail is very safe. It's very trusted. It has integrity. So what they were doing is taking messages I don't agree with, attaching them to my political votes, my political posts to confuse the people. And this is my point, is that we are no longer in control of our government. Our government is no longer in control of law and order. Social media platforms have taken away our own voice and our ability to express our own opinions.
Right.
And we are in one of the most unfair elections where we see police are unable to enforce the law. Politicians are getting rigged out of office. We're seeing an election and of a democracy, of a republic, being overturned by some sham mail-in ballots. I mean, basically, I think Americans like myself, when I say I'm jaded, look at clips like this of the police getting kicked and not being able to do anything, that we all feel like that officer, like that we have the power and we feel like we should have the power to get control, to take back law and order. But it's like there are powers at B, there are globalists, there are people out there that are just keeping us from being able to do what we could so easily do, which is just get our freaking country back.
Right, and I think fixing this starts with, I mean, stopping giving these people validation or pretending that their arguments are at all accurate. You talk about mail-in ballots, and you know, there is the system is right now rife with fraud, right? We've seen it from the Project Veritas exposés. We've known for a long time that there were issues with voter registration of, you know, dead people, right? Mail-in ballots appearing at people's houses under a different name and things like that. And even people's votes, there have been, I mean, I don't want to say this too definitively because these have been contested, but we're seeing videos circulating of Trump ballots being burned and things like that. So we know there are issues in the system, but anytime someone tries to raise these issues, what do they say to them? Oh, well, this is racism if you want voter ID. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory to say mail-in ballots aren't secure. And you know what? Stop listening to those people, right? Anyone with any common sense knows that these are issues in the system. You look at any other country that the left often likes to do when it comes to things like health. Like, let's talk about voting security, right? You go to any other country, you need an ID to vote.
In Canada,
right?
Do you need it?
Oh, of course. Right? Like, we're not stupid. I mean, we may be even lefter than the Democrats, but we still understand that if you need ID to rent a car or see an R-rated movie, you need ID to vote, right? And not only that, but when it comes to voter registration, you're not on there for the end of the century, right? You need to renew your registration on your tax form to make sure that, I mean, you're still living there, you're still wanting to vote. It just makes sense. And right, mail-in ballots. I don't know who thought that was a good idea. So these are things that any common sense person knows are an issue. But we have Democrats gaslighting the American public by saying like, oh, no, if you have any problem with this, you're crazy. Don't listen to those people. Like, honestly, just don't. They're minority anyway. So why anyone is entertaining them, especially conservatives, is something I don't understand.
Yeah, and I blame all of this election on hoes. I really do, on sluts. And I'll tell you why, realistically speaking, because I think that the way that the Democrats have been able to rig the game and change things is because of the degeneration of our society, specifically the breakdown of our families. I think that mothers are no longer raising their kids, that they want to work, that they're busy sleeping around, taking the pill. People are not getting constructive advice. They're not having fathers who raise them. And we have this dumbed down, stupid generation that's looking to the government to tell them what to do, where to go, how to sit, when, you know, they say how low to go, and they ask, well, okay, fine, I'll do whatever you ask. And we have this generation that's now looking to the government to solve their own problems. And I think the government, the Democrats know that. They're about big government. And they knew that by pushing out a bunch of mail-in compulsory ballots, they could get dumb people to vote. Right. And I know that's why our forefathers really had restrictions on voting, because it's like, you don't want the stupidest people in your country voting. That would be a pure democracy. And that could lead to chaos. That could lead to disorder. That's like the movie Idiocracy, right? They knew that you wanted landowners. You wanted certain individuals who were intelligent or had an education.
Or a stake in the system.
Yes. And these people don't have anything. They don't even have a kid anymore. These women, they don't have families, they don't have anything. And it's like, let's look at these. This is what I was going to say. This is why I believe, honestly, this is an example of what America's like. While all this chaos is going on, let's look at some videos of hoes. You know, the rapper 50 Cent retweeted my video.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I know. You know these are real hoes. 50 Cent likes
but he's,
hoes.
He's not even black anymore. And I'm pretty sure he's a white supremacist.
I think he likes hoes still.
Okay. Yeah.
He likes money and hoes. And not the garden kind. Go ahead and roll clip 8, Garrett. Is that 8 or 9? I think it's 8.
Fuck you.
Oh, wait. Next clip. They're freaking humping each other.
Yeah, I know, it's gross. I know, we saw stuff like that outside with the Women's March. People were doing that. Women were doing that in front of pro-life protesters who were kind of like trying to raise awareness of how quickly fetal development happens and that, you know, that is a human being. And, you know, these Women's March feminists, they responded by, I guess, twerking. Because that's what feminism is. It's wanting to abort your own children. It's wanting to debase yourself sexually. Gotta love progressive values. But no, this is disgusting. And this is unfortunately what a lot of modern political discourse has come down to. And I've said it before on our show. I don't care. It's controversial, but I'll say it. I don't think democracy is the be all end all. I don't even think it's a particularly good idea. I'm not in favor for every person needing to vote. It's like, all of these get out the vote efforts, I'm like, no. If you know you're informed and you have a stake in the system, okay, yeah, let's vote. But if you don't know what's going on, or you're apathetic, or you just want to vote so you can get as much back from your fellow citizens, actually don't vote. You know what? Because all you're trying to do is exploit the system for personal gain, which is not what politics and government is supposed to be about. But that's why we have people on the left focusing so hard on democracy right now, because all they want is mob rule. And you know what? If mob rule wasn't in their favor, they would be completely ignoring it anyway. But for now it is. And so that's why they say things like count all the ballots, right? Even if they may not be legitimate or whatever, they just want power.
Well, and that's what this was about. The compulsory mail-in voting. I will just say this here. I don't care. Literally, you can hit me with a bat and call me whatever you want, because realistically speaking, you know, this is where people talk crap on InfoWars. They talk crap on Alex Jones. And I've always said he gets some things wrong, but most of it's right. Because one thing that he's always talked about is this idea of globalists trying to tap into the stupid masses, trying to get control through media and subversion. And what I notice is if you go onto Spotify or any of these apps, big tech companies, the get out to vote campaigns are like using childish cartoons or like naked people. Yeah. Like it's like, want to see my titty? Vote. And it's like, well, first of all, gross pair of tits. No offense. It's really like Liza or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
Lizzo.
Like, Lizzo. Lizzo. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't care if you're fat. I don't care if you have flat boobs and they hang down to your belly button. But I don't want to see them. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask for it. But most importantly, like what's weird is that if someone thought about taking a fat black woman with saggy breasts, painting half her body in a flag, putting it on a picture, and really said, this will get people to vote, which is not really sad for Lizzo or whatever. Lizzo?
Lizzo, yeah.
Lizzo. It shows you how much they think of the American people and really, truly, what tactics they're using to gain power. They're going, let's tap into the most ridiculous,
like degenerate lizard brain part of the
exactly.
psyche.
That's what I'm saying. Like somebody goes, that will get people to vote. And maybe it did. And that scares me. That's where before we blame the Democrats and stuff, you go, oh my gosh, this is a cultural problem. If people in America will vote because of that, you know, or your stupid little pictures like, you know, be a feminist, vote, or vote for the black power or whatever. If that actually can move people and mobilize people to get out and cast a vote specifically for the Democrats, it's like maybe we are doing something wrong, or maybe they're just unethical and we need to catch up to them.
Right. Well, I strongly believe that a society gets the government that it deserves, for better or worse, right? And unfortunately, I think a lot of Western societies, we are getting the government that we deserve and we have no one to blame but ourselves. Right, we've let this happen. Like you mentioned, we've let this happen through the destruction of the nuclear family, through letting the education system go to the leftist without really any challenge up until very, very recently. And you know, Lizzo's not the only celebrity who was getting naked in order to get people to vote. Amy Schumer did the same thing, and I very strongly and seriously believe that Amy Schumer getting naked in order to make people vote should count as political terrorism, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's nuclear warfare.
I think so.
That's she's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, how
terrible.
To drain a pool? Drop her. Water gone.
Terrible. But this is what politics is, and it's kind of disappointing because, you know, the personal now has become political. And what I think that means is that now politics, like entertainment media, has to appeal to the lowest common denominator, which is not a good thing.
It's like 12-year-old boys. You know, there's a creator in here named Taylor Hansen. He's like 20, right? And like 20-year-old boys, it's like, they're like, oh, like, I mean, I'm not to be crass, but they're just like, oh my gosh, like titties, you know? You're a 20-year-old boy and like, you're going around. Now here's what happens. It's like, as you grow older, you know, he was like a teenager and you're like, you know, you always know these little horny boys and stuff like that. And then they grow up and you start, you know, respecting women. You start realizing it's not just about the body and there's character qualities and traits and you become sophisticated. And now you know, what's attractive to you as a man is not just a woman, you know, with a very curvy body and skimpy clothes. It's like, you're like, I don't want that. You know, you're like, I want a real woman, right? Who has other qualities too. I think the voting block is kind of like that, where they just like, people in nature are kind of carnal and they're just kind of dumb. And they just kind of look at the government like it's like a partner. And it's like, how can I get the most? What's the biggest mm-hmm. benefit I can get? And they're just like dumb young boys. They're just like, oh, yeah, give me stuff, give me whatever. And people, rather than looking at our culture and wanting to educate them and get them out of that, just like you would take a young man and you want to mentor him, right? Guys go from boys to men through good strategic mentorship from fathers, from strong men in their life, and they learn to value the right things. I think it's really sad in our culture that the Democrats, rather than looking at the dumbness of our country and going, we need to do better than this, we need to help get out of this stupidity, go, let's take advantage of this dumbness. Let's dumb the nation down even more. Because the dumber we can make the country, the more stupid and like a young boy around a hot chick being like out of control, let's take advantage of the chaos. Let's take advantage of the riots and let's weaponize this to stay into power. And they would sacrifice the well-being and the welfare of our nation and the lack of advancement of our culture simply just to stay in power. But why? That's the question. Is it because there's globalists and they're working hand in hand with the UN and China and these organizations to sort of decentralize the nationalism of the country? Or is it just for the age-old reason of politics, where people just love power and they get blinded and corrupted by it?
I think it's both, right? I think there are people out there who are just power hungry, right? And I think there are also ideologues, and I'm talking specifically about people like AOC and I think Ilhan Omar, who are really driven by this ideology where they believe the state is God, right? So, I mean, they don't care about things like destruction of the family. They want the state to be able to essentially be your be-all, end-all from cradle to grave. Mm-hmm. And that is an authoritarian tactic. It's called atomization. You chip down the connections between families and communities, and you reinforce allegiance to the state. And that is exactly what they're trying to do. We see that in school. We see that, you know, more and more. We see the left arguing that children specifically shouldn't be the wards of parents. It should be to the state. You know, we saw that most recently with COVID. We even saw Harvard Magazine coming out against homeschooling because, heaven forbid, parents be more involved in their children's education. And I think it's all connected. And what's especially scary in terms of globalism is seeing how far these leftists, their influence reaches, right? Because we have, for example, Black Lives Matter protests. That's going on not just in the United States now. That's going on in Canada. That's going on in the United Kingdom. I'm pretty sure they've had similar movements in Australia. And it's really scary because it gives you a sense of the scale of what you're up against, right? It's not just a couple of elitists in New York and California. This is actually a global phenomenon, especially with how academia and cultural institutions are, thanks to the internet, they are global. So, I mean, without similar backing, I'm not sure what conservatives can do in order to oppose that. And I mentioned to you before the show, unfortunately, I'm kind of blackpilled about this. I don't know if the conservatives that are left are A, strong enough in numbers, or B, strong enough in resolve to actually do something about it.
Yeah, I would have to say that. And that's why I want to tell you about a really important book that I've been reading. It's called Not Free America. And we got to talk about America not being free and really what's going on this smokescreen. This is actually one of the most interesting books that I've come across in a while. It's written by an author named Mike Donovan. And you might be asking, why do I care about that? Well, his name is irrelevant, but this guy, his reputation is what's important. He fought tyranny for years as the founder of the nation's largest pro bono civil rights law firm. As Donovan puts it in his new book, Not Free America, our Bill of Rights has been under attack long before COVID-19 or George Floyd's murder or even this election confusion. If you refuse to surrender your liberty to any earthly power, you need this book. Not Free America solves the issues of citizens being used by the government, but it's more than just a book. This is a solution. Whether you read or you know someone who reads, now is the time to get your first book. Go to notfreeamerica.com to take the Liberty Pledge and order your copy today to find out how to stop the overreaching abuse of our government and what actions you can take to do better. We must work together and do better to fix our ever-compounding liberty crisis in America. If we can unite around the concept of liberty, we can create lasting greatness. I still believe in 1776. Remember, the most significant changes usually come from crisis. Do your part and visit notfreeamerica.com today. That is notfreeamerica.com. Order your book today. You won't regret it. Speaking of not regretting it, we mentioned a little bit about the attempted assassination last night, and to just bring the credibility into this, it was serious. We had armed security. This was a very credible threat, came from multiple sources. They were tracking us, trying to get us away from police. They ended up stabbing multiple people last night. There was multiple attempted murders last night. So this is not without question. They were attacking political opposition. This is a confusing time for all of us, and we need to switch into this. So I wrote a tweet that says this, and we're going to talk about each of these steps. I wrote, the entire COVID shutdown scam, compulsory mail-in ballots, then huge margins for Trump on election night, pausing election counting, then huge mail drops with perfect margins for Biden. Ethical or unethical, they play to win. Can you say you didn't expect this? As we jump into what's going on with this confusion, I mean, realistically speaking, you brought up the fact that, you know, can we really expect conservatives and the right wing to get anything done?
Right.
We knew this was going to happen.
Yes. We knew for months. We knew, I think, as soon as they started pushing the whole lockdown thing, right? Because at first, Democrats were trying to play it off like it was no big deal because they didn't want to seem xenophobic. We had people like Nancy Pelosi saying, yeah, no, come on. Come out. Hug a Chinese person. It's all great. But no, what we saw was a very fast pivot once I think they realized how they could weaponize this. And, you know, I know conservatives, when it comes to the whole COVID thing, we don't want to seem heartless or, quote, anti-science. But let's be real. We're talking about an illness that we now know has like a 99%+ survival rate. And again, I don't want to be insensitive to the people who are immunocompromised or at risk or anything like that. But just the idea that Democrats said they were willing to put the whole election system at risk or potentially compromise it because of COVID, we should have known right away that they were up to something. Many people did, and they were called, conspiracy theorists and things like that. And I think it just speaks to, the lack of resolve among the conservative movement that this wasn't dealt with sooner, that this was even allowed to happen. It's quite disappointing, especially how all of these battleground states were pushing so heavily for mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. Should have known this was coming.
Yeah, and I think that this is important to realize is that when I say rigging elections, so I don't get fact-checked by the people, you'll say it's 99.98% survival, and they go, actually, it's 99.982.
Yeah.
You should technically keep an extra decimal. That's misleading information. When I say rigging election, not rigging an election isn't always illegal. That's really important to say here. It's possible that they technically won the election not fairly, because life isn't fair. And I think that's where the liberals, we don't want to be like them. They go, it's not fair. Look, life isn't fair, kid. It's like people suck and they do bad things. It's like someone's like, you steal your girlfriend. And it's like, that wasn't fair. It's like, dude, people steal girlfriends. It's not nice. It's not good. You're not gonna go to jail for it. Yeah, I'm sure you're actually hurt, but you can stop crying and next time keep tabs on your chick, don't let someone steal your girl. Ask yourself, why did that happen? Why did that happen? What were you doing wrong? And so for us, I'm asking the conservatives, if they're stealing an election legally, but it's not fair, what are we doing wrong? You know what I mean? Like if they can just dump ballots and get vertical spikes in swing states like Michigan and stuff like that, right in a perfect margin to beat Trump, it's like, how did they find over 100,000 ballots? How did they do that? Why are we not asking the questions? How are they doing what they're doing? Instead, we're like, I'm just going to go to court. And it's like, oh yeah, that's really going to solve everything.
Not just, I'm just going to go to court. Those are at least conservatives who have some sort of plan of action. We actually have conservatives saying, well, it actually makes sense. He was leading in the polls in these states. It totally makes sense because mail. We have conservatives who are actually just willing to, bend over and loop themselves up in order to take this from Democrats, which is really, really disappointing. And I think it's just representative of what we've seen for way too long from the establishment side of conservatives, which is just, we'll let the left establish the rules and we'll do whatever they want. And if they win, well, I guess that's just too bad. Will Chamberlain talks a lot about wartime conservatives, which I think is absolutely what we need right now. I think it may be too late if Biden wins this election. Remember, he was talking about giving a pathway to citizenship to at least 11 million illegal immigrants.
War. That's war right there.
That absolutely is. What they're essentially doing is ensuring Democrat reign for the foreseeable future, never mind if we look at the idea, they've already been kind of laying the groundwork for packing the Supreme Court. Like you said, I guess it's not illegal for them to do it, but it's definitely, it's not ethical. I mean, they always talk about this is unfounded. We want to talk about unfounded, let's talk about packing the courts and things like that. But I'm pretty blackpilled, like I said, about the whole situation. And I think at the very least, if you are a conservative who cares about this, look at the establishment conservative figureheads that were in charge for the longest time. And I'm talking about people like the Rick Wilson, the Charlie Sykes. Look where their leadership has gotten us and look how strongly they're opposing, the Trump movement that actually might influence some change. Never trust these people again. You really shouldn't.
Hate them all. Depose
you
them.
You should.
With peace.
I know.
Mostly peaceful.
I bully them on Twitter and I think they deserve it.
Yeah, they deserve it. I was going to say, where do you just find 100,000 plus mail-in ballots for one candidate? And I just got a message in my ear right now from my producer. She said that actually it's very common to find 100,000 ballots. She said she was walking down the street from 7-Eleven and she found a box.
Oh, wow.
Full of 100,000, I think it was actually 100 million ballots.
Yeah.
All for Biden. And she brought it. Can you go ahead and bring that in here? I was really crazy. That's just, so what's crazy about this is, let's see this.
Oh yeah, they're everywhere.
It says, and it's crazy on here too, because it says, not illegal ballots, so you know that it's real.
That is legit.
Right, and I'm going to tell you this, you might want to look inside, but I just want you to trust me that this is really all for Biden. I mean, I know you can see the clothes in here, but I want you to just believe me because this is, I said so. And so that's what they're doing in
100%
states.
For Biden.
And they're barring up windows. They don't want you to see inside the box. I mean, look at this. That is a Biden vote.
Yeah, and that's several thousand.
This is 1 trillion Biden votes, maybe. And I just got to say that for every thread, for every vote, this is the kind of stuff that I want to remind you of. And this is not sponsored by Lowe's. At least that's good. But I mean, that's literally what they're doing. They just go, you should trust us. And then it's like, they just
go on
with it.
Not only that, not only are they just like, I mean, Biden ballots are just spawning in these swing states conveniently, but also, you know, those darn pipes bursting in areas where Trump voters are in the lead. And then kind of like, we don't know really what's happening with that ballot, with those ballots. We shouldn't kind of care too much. Stuff happens. You know, got to hand out some Sharpies to Trump voters as
well. Talk about that. I actually have one here. This is a Sharpie. Some children put it in a bag and smell it to get high. And some of us should do that because I need something to get through whatever is going on right here. I know that we're supposed to pray to the Lord, but I don't, it does smell pretty good. We're getting high on camera. Yeah, it smells pretty good. So let's get high on this. So people are accusing, like, we'll just talk about this the Sharpie thing. Can you explain what this was?
Yeah, for sure. So I know at least in Arizona, there are reports from multiple people who I don't have any reason to doubt that they were given at the polling offices Sharpies to fill out their ballots. Right? And that was the only thing that was provided. And they were told to use what was provided to fill out their ballots. Now we're finding out that actually ballots filled out with Sharpies are being disqualified and discounted, I guess because they can't be read properly or because the ink bleeds. Some sort of technicality like that, something that people at polling office, you can bet your bottom dollar, they probably knew ahead of time, right? Because this is not a new thing. Sharpies have existed for a long time. So it's something that the average voter probably didn't know, the people working at the offices did. So what that means is that we have reports of this happening specifically in precincts where Trump was ahead or at least predicted to do very, very well. And now there are a lot of people who are saying, well, was this a concerted effort? And I'm not saying this needs to be some sort of top-down organized grand conspiracy, but was there someone at these polling offices who maybe knew what they were doing? So actually, and we mentioned this on my show, if you are an Arizona voter, you're actually able to go online and check to see whether your vote was counted. And if it wasn't, a lot of people are saying call a lawyer. There are several lawyers who are working on this and, you know, take action for that because your vote deserves to be counted. Don't let them throw away just tons of Trump ballots, especially in an area like Arizona, which at least at the time that we're filming this is still in play.
Yeah. Well, this is the sad part. And I kind of want to end on this closing thought here with our group that is watching this. This is a serious moment where I look at our country and, you know, there's a famous quote that was from a random person on Twitter that was probably only said one time that says, you know, as Ted Wheeler, he won his reelection bid,
right.
Said, you know, I've always liked this, but politicians is that the place where they're elected deserves them and they deserve the place where they're elected. So Ted Wheeler deserves Portland and Portland deserves Ted Wheeler. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to sound dismissive of the country overall, but when you think about how we got here, right, this is what the left was saying with Trump. Like, how did we get here? But I think this is maybe actually a good moment because when I see that the popular vote is more evenly split than ever,
right,
that there are two different Americas that you can live in and that there are major metropolitan city centers dictating for the rest of the country how real Americans feel. These are people in the cities that don't know our culture. They don't believe in our culture. They don't believe in our values, in our country. They are disrespectful, snobby. I mean, you show me a really kind, loving, radical, progressive person and I'll give you $500 because even my family members that are lefties, they just have issues that I just won't say because they're family and I love them and because I'm not lefty.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to smack talk my family on air, but I will say that it's challenging sometimes to love them because for years, all they've talked about is how much they hate Trump. Mm-hmm. I hate Trump. How could you, this guy and this guy and this guy? And it's like,
it's an irrational derangement.
Right.
It's not based on logic. And there are even people who I used to, even though didn't agree with them, used to respect people like Sam Harris. I've seen him fall into the trap of just TDS. I was like, what do you do? What do you do with people like that? I would love to be able to have a rational conversation. But when they're saying that Trump is worse than Hitler, literally, and Osama bin Laden, it's like, well, I don't know what to say to that anymore. Right? You've left the realm of
reality.
I mean, reality.
It's dark. Are you religious at all? Are you Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, because I believe it's a spiritual thing, and I have a lot of obviously different faiths and viewers, but I have to be real here. I think this is a great deception because there's a verse in Romans where it talks about kind of how it's like around the time when Rome was falling, mm-hmm. or like towards its decline, and it says like one of the things about these sinners and these people that really marked them was these acts, right? There was this proliferation of homosexuality and these things. I'm not against homosexual people or anything. What I'm saying is like there was just this like move, right? Because what we see is like state enforced homosexuality. It's like militant. Mm-hmm. This isn't just like, you know, two guys want to have sex with each other. This is like, they're going into schools telling little kids that anal sex is a something that they should explore. I mean, this is not two consenting adults, you know, just
and it's
exploring.
Not just homosexuality. I mean, it's just flat out degeneracy and debauchery.
That's what I'm saying. It's
so
further.
Much so that even like a lot of homosexual people are starting to wake up and say, hang on.
Correct.
This is even representative of us, which
so
is why
we enforce.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, it's like their version of these, of like, they'll take things that have been considered immoral and they'll turn it into like this militant state thing that we get to control what it means to do this and how marriage is and what this means, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And you see this movement and what it says is in that verse, you know, I'm not, there's a big activist guy who really doesn't like me, who tells people I'm homophobic. I'm just realistic. The LGBTQ lobby sucks mm-hmm. and they're terrible. And even the LGBTQ people that are waking up from that realize that there's a radical left agenda that doesn't care about their sexuality. They're using them.
Exactly. Which is why I don't know if you've seen this, but according to exit polls, Trump actually doubled his support among LGBT people from 2016. And the reason that he managed to do that is because people are starting to wake up and say, hang on, you're not actually for LGBT people. You're just using them as part of your coalition of people who you can say are oppressed in order to gain power.
Right.
Right. And that's exactly what it is. And you know, I'm a Christian. And one of the only reasons why I'm not freaking out more, despite being so blackpilled, is that we should all remember that regardless of who becomes president, Christ is always king. Right. And, you know, we as Christians, part of the burden we need to bear is knowing that we are essentially always going to be at odds with the world, right? In one way or another, because we are in a fallen world. But that doesn't mean we should lose hope and give up. Although I think it does mean that we shouldn't necessarily expect things to be easy. You know, regardless of what happens in the United States, Canada, whatever specific country, I do believe that there will always be at least a force for good on this planet, and we just need to make sure that we're part of that, and we're doing everything we can. And I know there are a lot of, you know, quote Christians who are, you know, on board with the progressive left agenda, right? You know, you've seen it a lot. People saying, "How can you be a Christian and vote for Trump when he's said all these terrible, terrible things?" And I think those people, they would have you believe the left's vision of Christianity, that Christianity just means being nice. Right. And Christianity just means doing secular charity work. That's what I see a lot from those types of Christians.
Do we have a clip real fast? I think this is clip. Can we go to clip 13, Garrett? These were people that were yelling at a street preacher today who was talking about sin. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, "God loves all of us," in her ear. This is literally what they were doing to a street preacher. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that is exactly what I'm talking about.
I had that. We didn't find that.
It frustrates me so much, because this is like the wishy-washy secular version of Christianity that the left is always trying to push. And I think if you're a Christian who's actually, you know, a Bible-believing Christian, then mm-hmm. you should know the message of the Bible is not God loves you and you're amazing and everything, it's okay. It's that you are dead in your sin. And unless you accept Christ as your savior, then there's nothing that you can do about it. And God's love is manifest through through salvation in Jesus Christ, right? So these people saying, "Oh, God loves you," they're saying it because they want you to think that you're perfect the way you are and that you don't need to change anything. You can continue living your debauchery, which is exactly the opposite of what the Bible teaches.
I'm not perfect. And I'm like, I know I need God.
Exactly.
The Bible was written for me because I'm that kind of guy who's like, I need a manual.
And I think we should, as Christians, be willing to accept and embrace that, how without the salvation of Christ, we would be dead in our sin. But these people, it's like they want us to embrace the sin without the Christ part of it, which is completely a perversion of the Christian message. And it really frustrates me. And I feel like so many people who are more focused on Trump's mean tweets than they are about Democrats doing things like advocating for abortion up until birth and things like that, and, you know, removing religious freedoms, that's exactly the kind of mentality they have. It's more important that you be nice on social media than it is that you actually stand up for Christian values. And to that, I say, no, thank you. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't necessarily a nice man. He had no problem calling out the sinners and the tax collectors and the hypocrites. And I think we need to take that lead more so than just the David French version of Christianity, where you just have to be polite to the Democrats and advocate for whatever they say. And it's totally fine as long as you oppose Trump, because he's mean and, you know, he did things with, what's that, horse face?
Sarah Jessica Parker?
No, Stormy Daniels. Oh, there we go.
There's a lot of horse faces. I'm going to say, you know my answer to that is? God loves all of us. That's literally what they screamed. And that's what I was going to say is in that verse, I'm going to end with this. It says that, you know, as their sins multiplied, they lost the ability to understand. Mm-hmm. Like they couldn't grasp basic things. That's what we're seeing as a society, a move away from understanding, guys. And it could end up in a civil war. I encourage you guys to buy guns, buy ammunition. Don't use them unlawfully, always through the law. That's why you see this push against guns in our country. They want to disarm us. That's always been the goal. Do not let them disarm you or your family. Support our sponsors. And most importantly, you know, the best way to get banned on YouTube and to not be supported is by being a Christian and talking about right-wing ideas, which you and I are both on their lovely blacklist of borderline channels, and it's very hard to find our videos.
Can't find us through Google, not in recommends or searches.
So how do they find you?
You just need to share, right? And I encourage like everyone watching right now, share your videos, right? Share your channel, because otherwise the audience
started removing the share
grow.
Features off my videos.
Really?
The buttons, they're removing the
of
buttons
course.
In a lot of my videos. You can't share. Watch, go to my last episode, you can't share it.
Yeah, and they're doing this on purpose. We've known for a long time, and I frankly, something that I am disappointed in the Trump administration is that he should have taken a harder stance against big tech. I mean, I've been saying for years that essentially, like, this is going to be what does conservatives in, and we saw it already. I mean, with the Hunter Biden story, if that had happened to a Republican, it would have been international headlines, but we had Twitter censoring New York Post, even Facebook as well. So it's, again, this is what conservatives deserve because they weren't able to actually take a stand and fight for themselves.
So how do we actually, where can people follow you? What's the best ways they can watch your videos, your content, consume what you do?
Well, if you are a subscriber to Blaze TV, of course, we're on Blaze TV. Otherwise, you can follow me at The Lauren Chen on Instagram and Twitter. And on YouTube, if you type in Lauren Chen or pseudo-intellectual, it's 50-50, I might pop up, right?
Yeah. We'll put a link in the description of this video so people can find you. Please subscribe to her. Subscribe to this channel if you haven't already. Turn on the bell. Guys, we have a big fight ahead of us. I'm going to let you know this has been another episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV with your favorite host, me, Elijah Schaefer. A huge thank you to the lovely, you're still Miss, right?
Yes.
Miss Lauren Chen. What will your last name become?
Donovan.
Lauren Donovan.
Yeah. January, COVID wedding.
Woo-hoo. Okay. So we totally removed the Asian vibes from this. Probably because you're a Trump supporter.
White supremacist.
Yeah, exactly.
Racism,
I give internalized racism and bigotry. Anyways, guys, remember, I got to go turn these into the polling place in Texas back in my house. We're going to go ahead and flip Texas blue. And so have a great rest of the week. As always, I'm recording out of the studios here in Washington, D.C. Blaze TV. Check them out. BlazeTV.com/Elijah. Use my code to get $10 off a year. Have a great rest of the week. Keep your family safe. Buy your AR-500 armor. Get a copy of your book. And may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.